Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Jane. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you, Laura.
So happy to have you here. Tell us what you've been up to.
Well, I've been writing and I'm getting really excited that I have the first of a three book series coming out in late May, but I'm a mom of three boys, although two of them are in their 20s, they're still boys because I realized guys don't grow up for a long time, if ever. And then my youngest turns 13 tomorrow. So I'm always kind of juggling that mom and writing world.
So let's talk about your writing. What led you to start writing? And like, and you know, you mentioned you have written in women's fiction, some romance and stuff like that. What was your path to writing?
I am one of those who wrote really young. My dad was a history professor and he was a writer. And I started doing what, because I was a teacher for years and I now know it's kind of a read and response. And I remember reading Little House on the Prairie and Laura got spanked. And I was really upset by it. And so I remember writing about it, kind of like that should not have happened. That was not right. And then later in Little Women in fourth grade, when I read that Beth had died, I wrote poetry. I wrote stories. It was my way to process what I had read. And starting around then in third, fourth grade, I wrote my first novel. And I just, well, it took me until I was, 35 to get published. But I wrote high school years, Harlequin type romances. In college, I kept writing. I'd be sitting in class at UCLA instead of taking notes on English literature. I was writing, my dialogue. It's always been natural. That doesn't mean I'm maybe the most talented because it took me 13, 14 years of trying and 13, 14 rejected books to finally get published. And so now I have over 75 published, but it was a slog.
She got 75 books. How do you do it?
I think so. I've been published now for about 22 years. And so every year it's about five books, depending on the year. And it's my real career. It's how I pay bills. And I know years back when I was about 40, I went through divorce. And having my own identity as Jane Porter, the writer, saved me because the divorce was really hard. And I lived in an area of which there's a little bit of a stigma to being divorced. And so having a career where people only really knew me as a writer and not as a wife or mom was everything.
Yeah, I grew up a child of divorce, and it was like at the time I was in a very conservative culture, and it was like I was like the first divorced kid that came out in the group, and it was like strange because I'm like then all the other people got divorced afterwards, but I remember my mom like trying to find herself too, like find who she was outside of the marriage, so I think this is like a bigger thing. So having that career path, probably serve as an anchor and allow you to thrive and to move forward to the next level.
It did. I think that's one of the reasons why so many of my books actually dealt with divorce and single moms and raising kids as a single mom, because like in my novel, Odd Mom Out, it really focuses on what it's like. So if a mom is excluded in some ways, the child is excluded.
Yeah.
And my kids went through a really bumpy time and they didn't get invited places. And it was such an eye-opening thing that why you can't really always afford to be a lone wolf in society. It sounds like, sure, I'll be tough girl. But in reality, it impacts, if you're a woman and a mom, it impacts your kids too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why these books, and it's been a while since I've written in this vein of the single woman who's in her 40s or 50s, but I'm back to it because as my kids have grown up, I thought, oh, I'm going to feel so different and free. I don't feel free. I still feel very tied to them. Mm-hmm. But the worries just change.
Yeah. And let's chat about Flirting with 50, because you have an older heroine. And so talk to us about what was the source of inspiration, a little bit about the book, and what inspired you to have an older heroine?
You know, for Paige, it really was, I hope she'll never listen to this, but I have a very good friend and she's beautiful and smart and she's amazing with numbers. She's a CFO for a company. And people want to know, well, should I set her up? Should I introduce her to someone? And I'm like, no, she doesn't want to date. And they're like, oh, come on. She's, you know, she's 50. She just want to be alone. And she's like, no, I'm really, really happy. I don't need a man. I'm happy. I have my adult daughters. I have a great career. I have friends. I'm good. And so it became almost like a tease for me, the romance writer in my brain. What would it take for her to actually fall in love? And she always says, well, if David Muir was single, maybe, you know, that type of thing. So mm-hmm. I would say, well, what if he did like you? Would you fall for him? And that's, there's even a line in the book about, well, if David Muir was single. But I think there's that feeling, what would it take to fall in love if you really are happy being single? Mm-hmm. And then that's where our hero, Jack King, Dr. Jack King, very sexy Australian. I always thought of Hugh Jackman as I was writing him. Well, what if my friend met Hugh Jackman? And so the story just kind of came from there, the what ifs.
Oh, I love this. And I love reading older heroines, because I'm like, I'm not in my 20s. I'm not in my 30s. I'm in my 40s now. And it's like, I like to understand, like, you can fall in love at any age, you know, like there is no, there's no stigma. And like, Fuji's is just young. Like, you know, it's not that old. It's
true. Oh. I think it's been interesting because I wrote Flirting with 40 when I was just turning 40. I'm actually 58 now. And the heroine of my second book that will come out in November, she's 58. And then the story I'm writing right now, the heroine's 47. And I think it's so interesting because I don't feel any different from when I was younger. And then that feeling of love or being attracted to someone. And so it's a good thing. Now my husband's not listening, but I remember being in a restaurant in New York City several years ago. And I was with some writer friends after a conference and we'd gone out for ice cream. And a man who was like the waiter, he must've been an actor or a model. He was so handsome. And I remember as he seated us at the table and I got like hop. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh, and I thought, I'm not dead. You know, I think we always have hormones and we always have that feeling of when something kind of pops onto your horizon, you're like, oh, wow. And I think we always have that. Now, mm-hmm. when you're in a committed relationship, I think you don't allow yourself to kind of go there. Mm-hmm. But in that one moment, it reminded me, doesn't matter how old you are, we have this innate desire to love and be loved. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't ever, I would hope we have that all the way to the very end.
Mm-hmm. I hope so too. I think we do. Cause actually like, my director's, her mother-in-law is in a housing, she has Alzheimer's, but she's like a nursing home and is been taken care of. And she fell in love in her nursing home and through COVID with another man, and through COVID, and they're like in their 80s right now. And to COVID, they've been pushing, they want to get married. And the son was like, really? Like now, like 80? And just like really pushing with Alzheimer's, like she wants to get married. And she ended up getting married. Like they ended up having a wedding or no having stuff. And it's like, yeah, like you can fall in love at any time, you know, like your time will come and like you can fall in love multiple times. Like, it doesn't have to be just one epic time.
No. And I think that that's an interesting point, because especially as you get older, you're gonna, you know, I don't believe there's one soulmate. I think there's different people you can love, and we change as we grow, and as we keep growing older, we have different experiences that we bring in. What I might have liked at 25 or 35 is something very different, say at 55. You know, I've been able to have this other interesting life. I don't need necessarily someone to complete me, because I'm pretty complete. I want someone who's a friend, or someone who gets my jokes, or someone who says, let's go have adventures. And so I think that's the exciting thing for women over 40, as we have relationships, is there's no limit on what it should be. And there's no definition and no box. There's no box, and we shouldn't let anyone put us in a box.
Yeah. I love this conversation. All right. Let's have some book recommendations. And you Woman's recommendations, which I'm very excited to hear. Tell us what books you recommend our listeners to pick up.
All right. I'm a huge fan of Jane Green. I remember reading her very first years ago, and I love Sister Stardust. That has just come out, and it is so different from what people might have known Jane to write, but I've spent time in Morocco. I'm fascinated by the Getty family. And so for me, this one was like, yes, check, check, check. I have so many articles on like Morocco in the 60s and the 70s and how it was the place. So I think Sister Stardust is like number one, and it's just come out. So I'm a big excited fan about that one. Also though, I love Mimi Matthews. I love historical romance. Yeah. Mimi is like, I don't want to say she's my girl because I've never met her and she's going to think I'm an obsessed fan, but I love to write her all the time. I love to say something to her on like, you know, social media, like, oh, I love that book. Oh, I can't wait. But it's true. Like I read her when she was just only indie and her books were superb. And her new series, I think her newest was The Siren of Sussex, and fantastic. Love that one. Let's see. Daisy Jones and the Six.
Yep.
Taylor Jenkins Reid. Yep. Yes. Oh, I've read a number of her books, but that one for me, maybe it's because I went to UCLA. I have a son who has studied music. There's just something about the setting and the story and the characters. Like that one was by far my favorite. In fact, I just read the husbands, Seven Husbands.
Oh, well, here you go.
But I had to go back and then read Daisy again, Daisy Jones, just because it was such a superb story and it was so original.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I love Daisy. I feel like Daisy just like has a special point in my heart. Like I read it a couple of times, so I have to tell you, it's getting better and better, like every read, because then you figure out things like people, characters are like who don't show up, and you're like, it makes sense after you read it. I'm like, oh, that person want to be part of this stuff, so he doesn't show up, you know? Like, you're like, all this different connecting the dots and all the different things. It's just, and the ending. Oh, so good.
It's so good. And I think that for me as a reader, as a romance writer, and a writer of fiction or women's fiction, the ending to me is so important. I remember way back, because I was an American literature, American studies major at UCLA, but I didn't like the whole Gatsby, there's a green light down on the pier or something, or what? I don't want just a little green light. I want fat happiness. I want joy. I want closure. I need that. And I think that's why I'm so drawn to romance, because they don't leave you hanging with a little hope. I don't want a shred of hope. Mm-hmm. You know, I want peace and certainty and a sense of things are really, truly going to be all right. And I think with that in mind, that's one of the reasons I love Anne Gracie. I don't know if you've read, she's an Australian Regency romance writer.
Yes.
Superb. She's probably one of the best writers writing. I think her characterization, her story development, she's just so strong. She's one of those where I think there's just one or two books a year and I wait and wait and wait. And I love them. In fact, I almost hate to read them right away. So I think the last one I read by her was The Scoundrel's Daughter, but I've never read a bad Anne Gracie. So I highly recommend her.
Oh my gosh. You just handed me one good recommendation that I have to go now and download. So this is amazing.
I should send you this. She writes in series, and the series before, I think this newer one, it was so good. And I think these are all linked, but there's just something, she does fantastic heroes. I've been able to, whenever I've been in Australia at a writer's conference, I always try to go to her writing workshops, because the way she crafts a hero is so great and her heroines are relatable. And I don't know, I'm just always like, oh, it's she, to me, she's a reader's writer, but she's also a writer's writer. She just has craft and nails it. And then I know I'm talking a lot, but of course, Becoming Mrs. Lewis by Patty Callahan for me was really, I was very spiritual and very kind of born again in college. And I read C.S. Lewis, everything by C.S. Lewis. I really loved so many of the way he talked about faith and the development of faith. And so for me, years later, being able to read about Joy, who you meet in some of his writings and letters, and knowing that he had loved her so much, and she had, you know, cancer and had died, and his love for her. And again, they were older. They weren't young chickens, you know, young chicks. Having this love when you're older and you've waited your whole life for this special love. And it was such a great meeting of the minds and hearts. And I was blown away by Patty's world building, because I wasn't sure I was going to like it, because I had such an attachment to his work. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was reading something else he might have written. I mean, I felt like she had mastered that whole world. And I remember writing to her several times while I was reading it. And I've had author friends who say, can you not do that? Can you just wait till the whole book is done? Because you have like this conversation, like, oh, I'm at this part and this is amazing. And my eyes teared up. But I still had that, read and response thing. I don't know how to separate. If I'm reading something, I want to share. I want to talk about it. So
I feel you, because I'm one of those people who's like, actually just I'm reading and respond to my friends. I'm like, I actually, there was a book that I read recently and I did not understand the ending. And I had to go and talk to my friend. I was like, okay, explain to me what happened. You know, it's not a romance, but there are other, and there's a book that I'm reading right now that I had to talk to a friend. I was like, what is happening? Like, this is a mess, but I'm still reading. I need this. And so there's something to be said about having a reader author community, of being able to like talk to other people, like, and share your feedback, and like, you know, be like excited about it and be like, okay, makes sense and stuff like that. It adds the value of being a reader.
Well, I was, you know, I think it's an interesting thing, because I buy or get a lot of my books off of recommendations from friends. Mm. And so people who know my taste, like if they say buy this, I always buy it. Or someone says, love this, Jane, I think you're going to like it. And I love that, because, you know, sometimes there's so little time, you know, I just need a really great comfort read. I need something that's going to make me feel warm and safe and cozy. Mm-hmm. And I think we all read for different reasons, but so often for me, when I start reading, it reminds me of being that little girl who was reading, you know, all of Louisa May Alcott's books, not just one, but from Little Women to Little Men to Joe's Boys, you know, to The Cousins. And I love series and connected stories. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like binge, you know, reading, where you're just lost in a family or a world.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's to me, besides my family, because I, not that I have to say that, but you know, let's be honest, but if they did not exist, the best thing in the whole world would simply be reading like one story into another, mm-hmm. Just, I'm the happiest when I'm reading. It's truly like, in fact, I would quite often rather be just a reader than a writer, except I have readers who tell me they like my books. So I guess I better write.
You have to give us something. You know?
I suppose it's lazy to only read and eat gummy bears or something. So, okay.
Yeah, I understand. So Jane, tell us where you can find you online.
Okay. I'm janeporter.com is my website. And I'm on Instagram. I think I'm like author Jane Porter, Facebook Jane Porter. You know, and what I love is there is another Jane Porter out there, but she lived in the 1700s. And so I now and then get somebody who's into like marketing books and reaches out to me about the Scottish Chiefs and said, oh, I've discovered your book, The Scottish Chiefs, and we can promote it for you. And I'm like, yes, that's wonderful. It's a wonderful book, but it was written like 1780. So I love that. There's only really, I think, 2-3 of us Jane Porters. So I'm the one that should still be alive.
Oh gosh, I love this story. So thank you, Jane, for being on the show.
Thank you, Laura. I'm so glad I get to meet you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.